Romans chapter 8. I studied some best I could yesterday, and seemed like I could get anywhere in my studies. I couldn't. Just times when the heavens are brass. And so this is where I feel like the Lord has led me this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And the title of this message would be, No Condemnation to Them Which Are in Christ Jesus. Now these are very, very, very blessed words. And the Lord has put these words here for our understanding and for our comfort, for our strength, and for our joy. Now, knowing what we are in ourselves and what we face in this world and what who our enemy is and his strength, we need such words as these to have good courage. And we have very good reason to have good courage. So let's read just a little bit here. There is therefore, now, therefore is for all the things that are laid down here in these first few chapters of the book of Romans. Because of all these things, because of justification by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the propitiation which God has set forth through the redemption that's in his blood. He has made satisfaction to the law of God. And the law of God is no longer an offended foe to us. But we are justified in the eyes of God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that by God-given faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you come to be in Christ Jesus? You don't pray your way in. You don't actually believe your way in. You don't do anything. People were put in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, 4. And then we'll begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's a done deal. He's blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, in the ancient manuscripts, punctuations, chapters, and verses weren't there. So this really is like this. that we should be without... should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, the whole scheme of redemption has a foot of grace in the love of God. The Lord God sent his Son into this world because he loved a people in his Son. Romans 8:39. Let's just turn to a few places here and look at this. Romans 8:39, and if you don't want to turn, I'll just read it to you. And I'll begin reading in verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the love of God is in Christ Jesus for us because we are in Christ Jesus. We're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. His choice of us is through that covenant union between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which was settled upon in eternity past. So, look at John 17:23. Some of these are very familiar scriptures, but they're always worth looking at. John 17:23. Jesus answered, John 17:23. I in them, and thou in me. Now that was the Old Testament tabernacle picture. That was the picture that was given by the tabernacle. That's where God met man. And that's where that tabernacle, that temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, His humanity, is where God meets us. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now the love of God has eternally rested upon the people of His choice. He loved them and chose them in Christ Jesus, gave them to His Son for His bride and spouse. The Lord Jesus Christ betrothed them to Himself and said, "They are mine. They're mine." In time, at the appointed time, God the Holy Spirit visits them by the preaching of the Word and enlightens their understanding, though that they can know that this is indeed the Word of God, the Word of truth, and that there is no other foundation that we can build on that will last into eternity. The things that are begun here in us, as in our experience, actually began in eternity past in the covenant of grace, but they are made manifest to us today in our experience by the preaching of the Scriptures. The power of God unto salvation is in the gospel. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." And believers, the people of God, are made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no possibility of condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You cannot be condemned. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Facing the enemies that we face, the temptations that we face, our own evil nature, Satan and the world, we need strong consolation. We need a strong comfort. And God has given it to us in these words. You cannot erase the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein the people of God were justified from all sin. That cannot be erased from the annals of eternity. He came into this world in our nature and paid our debt in full. And we cannot be charged with any residue of that debt because he made a full end of it. It's over. It's done. The people of God are justified in Jesus Christ forever. And I don't care what all the works preacher in this world tells you what you have to do. You have to do nothing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that believing is not your work. It's the work of God in you. He puts that. He puts His Spirit in you, His life in you. And by that life of faith, that spirit of faith, you believe and receive and understand that all that Jesus Christ did, He did for the people of the covenant of God. Let's look at one more place. I love these few, well, I love all the scriptures, but there's a few places that just especially speak to us. Look at John 14. John 14, 9. Well, that just sort of jumped out of my mouth, so we'll read it, but I really want to go to John 14, 20. Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet ye have not seen me, Philip? Our Lord Jesus Christ, His name is the Everlasting Father. And He said, I and my Father are one. And if we would see God, the glory of God, we see it in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now look on down to verse 20. Now look at these words. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now how close are we to God? We are in God's Christ. And He is in God. We're in God in Christ.
Yeah.
That's close as you can get. Now we can say, well, I want to feel close. Well, I do too. I do want to feel close. I desire to feel close. I desire the fellowship and the communion of God. I want to walk with God. I want to be as dead to this world as in my experience as I am actually. I'm truly dead to the things of this world in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was crucified at Calvary in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was with Him. I was in Him. But that's not good for me. Sometimes the Lord withdraws His Spirit from us in order that we can realize again all over and anew that we must have Him. And when He withdraws His Spirit and His communion and the fellowship of the Father, and our soul enters into desolation and into a wilderness, into a dry land. When the heavens become a brass that you don't feel like you could get a prayer through if your life depended on it. Those times are sent of God for our good. Because they drive us to seeking anew the source of our life. If we've dwelt on the spiritual mountaintop all the time, we would become exalted in ourselves. Oh, look how nice I am. But that's not good. And God won't have it, and He knows what we need. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Back over to Romans chapter 8. Who walk not after the flesh. Now, what is it to walk after the flesh? Well, one way to walk after the flesh is to walk in drunkenness and idolatry. And anybody knows that that's not the way you are justified before God. But there's another way which is more subtle and just as deadly or more deadly than that, and that is to seek to walk yourself to please God. That's walking in the flesh. That's depending on something you do to bring you to a place of peace and fellowship with God. And it is to ignore the finished salvation and work that is of Christ Jesus. And it's deadly. They that walk in the flesh, they'll die. If you're going to be justified by your sanctimonious works, by how good a person you are, and by what you do, you're gone, Jesse. And I hate that word because I got a daughter named Jesse, but I think that carries over from Brother Barnard. But anyway, the people of God realize, look at Galatians 2:19. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The law presented to me for obedience proves to me that I can't live by law. I cannot be justified by the law. Look at Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, all of the failures of Israel for hundreds of years, all of their backslidings and all of that was to prove that neither Israel nor anybody else can live under the law. And the law is death. Look at Psalm 143. Says the same thing. Psalm 143, verse 2. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Ecclesiastes 9:27 says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and therefore there's not a man on the top side of this globe anywhere that can be justified by the law of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. who also hath made us, now that is God, has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, that is the law, the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the law, or the letter of the law, or the letter, killeth always, in every case. No flesh, no man can be justified by the law. But the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, which is the law, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In other words, the glory of the life-giving Spirit in the New Testament by the word of the gospel far exceeds the glory of the Old Testament, which was glorious in itself. The law in itself was good and holy and honorable and of God, the ordinance of God. But it couldn't bring life to us because we're weak through the flesh. And weak folks need a strong, able Savior. And we have one. He got the job done. He finished the work. And he saved his people. He is saving them in a sense. He has saved them. Father saved them when he wrote their names in heaven before the foundation of the world. It's done. The Son saved them when he paid their sin debt at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit saves us when he calls us. And we'll finally be saved from the very presence of sin in glory. So we have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go back to there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, being chosen in him before the foundation of the world, who walk not after their own doings to be justified, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to depend completely on the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation. And it's to trust self for nothing. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I by the law am dead to the law. I'm convinced, I know, I'm such a sinner that I can't keep the law. My thoughts destroy me. Well, that guy cut me off short. He passed in a no passing zone. If I could, I'd shoot him. I'm a murderer. That's just who we are. So we're convinced that we can't keep the law, but we're justified as we trust the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all and every sin, every moment of every day, of every millennia that we're in existence. Before time and after time. We're in Christ. In him is no sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life is the gospel. And believing the gospel has made me absolutely free from the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth must die. it shall surely die. We're set free from that law because we've already been crucified in the Lord Jesus Christ. We died in Christ at Calvary. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was never sinful, but He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, because of our sin, He came to pay a sin debt, and He paid it. Condemned sin in the flesh. He punished sin in the flesh and put it away forever. It was punished in His flesh. Now look at Romans chapter 6. Now you cannot be condemned because you've been baptized into death in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptized into union in His death. And that is the spiritual baptism. It's not water baptism, it's spiritual baptism. It's the baptism of the Spirit. When you know in your heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is the Christ. That Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Romans 6:3. And let's begin reading at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, now, what does he mean by that? Well, somebody might think, well, if there's no condemnation, let's go out and sin all we want to. Well, God's people do. They sin a whole lot more than they want to. They certainly do. They don't want to sin. They want to be like their father. They have a sincere desire to be like their father, but they have a sin principle in them that is not dead. They have the same desires, the same lust, the same passions. This flesh is not changed. The body is not redeemed. It awaits its redemption at the resurrection of the just. But everything that was natural to it when in the unregeneracy is still natural to it. But we have a strong principle within now that overrules. There's two men in here. There's an old man and a new man. And they're continually at war with one another. The new man wins. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All right. So since sin cannot be imputed to us, since we cannot sin, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do we magnify the grace of God by walking as sinfully as we can? No. No, we dishonor God. We bring reproach on our faith. We want to obey the Spirit and walk in a holy life. But we just can't do everything we want to. We cannot be as Christ-like as we would. God forbid that I should walk in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, how did we become dead to sin? Through death in the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We were crucified with Christ. So we're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And then if dead to the law, dead to sin, because sin is a transgression of the law. If you're dead to the law, you're dead to sin. Sin can't be imputed to you. Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ rose to walk, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now water baptism is being buried in the likeness of Christ's death. It's to show that we were crucified with him and buried in his death at Calvary. And that as he rose, we were risen in him. We were all raised up together. We put to death together with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were raised up together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And water baptism is a testimony of that. It's not a washing away of the filth of our flesh, and it's not our spiritual birth, but it is a testimony that we have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ and raised up together with him. Look at Ephesians 2. All right, let's begin reading at verse 3. Well, let's just go all the way back to verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We were born into this world, dead in trespasses and sin, and God quickened us according to his will. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the children of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Hath given us life together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together. We were raised up when the head was raised up, the whole body was representatively raised up in him. He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Representatively, we, every believer, is now seated in glory because the head of the body is there as the representative of the body. Now back to Romans, verse 6. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So all of those lusts, that anger, that envy, that malice, all that that's in us by nature was crucified. At Calvary. When those things begin to war in us and we see those things in us, we can just say, well, that's that rotten corpse stinking. That's just what it is. It's that rotten corpse stinking, giving me problems. That the body of sin might be destroyed. It was destroyed by crucifixion, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin, and the word freed there is justified. Look at Colossians chapter 2. And let's begin reading at verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted. Now the Lord said, comfort ye my people. He didn't say beat them with a legal stick, like a lot of preachers do. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. If you don't do this, that, and the other, you're going to split hell wide open. Oh, you don't work enough. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. You don't this enough. You don't that enough. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the victory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what those legal preachers, they guilt you to death. So recognize them for what they are. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Whew, look at that. If you understand who God is, who you are, that you have been saved by the purpose of God, then you have great assurance in understanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your assurance. God hasn't changed his mind. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because I don't change, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, the three persons in their united love, saving his people. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you of enticing words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in our works, not in our anything about us, but our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. That's life in the Lord Jesus Christ, established in the doctrine of Christ, which is the one faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, you got to be legal. You got to belong to the land of the you gottas. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to, you got to, you got to. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're in him. All the fullness of the Godhead is in him, and his people are in him. I in them, and thou in me. And ye are complete in him. That person who has found out that they're an heir of God through faith in Jesus Christ is as much a citizen of glory as Moses is. Been a citizen just as long, and has been loved with the same love, the love of the Father, redeemed by the same blood, justified by the same blood, crucified in the same Christ. He is a citizen of glory and not of this world. And we're done with the world. We're done with it. We're crucified to it. It's crucified to us. And we're done with it. We're not deceived by its glitter. We know that it's death. This world is going to be burned. And ye that believe are complete, absolutely complete, perfectly complete, fully complete, nothing wanting in Him. We are made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. God give you a new heart. He performed heart surgery. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. So there again, that's pointing at water baptism. It's typical of our actual baptism into the death of Christ by the Spirit, whenever He lets us know that we were crucified with Him, buried, slept in the tomb with Him, and got up the same morning with Him. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know, worry about our condition is a hindrance to us, and it's really dishonoring to God. We believe Christ died and put away all our sins. Well, if He did, why are we worried about Him? But we worry. And the reason is because of unbelief.
Yeah, that's
true. So we ought to put all that foolishness out of our mind and acknowledge that we're dead with the Lord Jesus Christ. Reckon ye yourselves also indeed to be dead unto sin. You reckon that. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and He nailed it to His cross. That law can never bring anything against us. It's nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Let no man beguile you, or lie to you, or deceive you in your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. Legalists who tell you all the things you've got to do. In a hierarchy of a mediatorship of angels and dead saints, as the Roman Catholic Church. And not holding the head. They've left Christ. From which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, and if you believe the gospel, you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. You're dead to the things of this world, to the law. For as living, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. All that legalistic stuff. After the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, free willism, and humility and neglecting of the body, and not to the honor of the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, they have a holy show, but they're full of corruption and death. At Mara, the waters were bitter. And the Lord took a tree, put it in the water, made it sweet. The Lord on the tree made everything to his people sweet. comfort ye, my people. Be strengthened. Let me read you one more scripture, then I'll close. And I've already quoted it to you, but you need to see it. Romans 6:11. Likewise reckon ye. In other words, he's saying, okay, you look at it this way, or you be convinced of this, or you consider it, you consider this as being true. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
See? Mm-hmm.
Now, a legal preacher will never tell you that. He'll tell you, and if you commit the teeny tiniest little sin, and if you don't repent before you go to bed, if you die that night, you're going straight to hell. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Because the people of God are dead to sin. They were crucified at Calvary in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In that eternal union. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We live unto God. We live in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I promised I'd close, so I will. But you might turn over to 1 Corinthians 3:27 and read that and find out that we're Christ and Christ is God.